The following story has been brought to you by StoriesToInspire.org.
A number of years ago, I had the opportunity. I worked for a magazine, for Mishpacha magazine, and I very much wanted to interview a very chashuv yid. His name is Rav David Refson. He's the founder of Neve Yerushalayim Seminary in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim. Many of you are no doubt familiar with what he's done. He's one of the pioneers of women's kirov, 50 years since he built Neve. Fascinating person, a dynamic person, an eloquent person. I very much wanted to interview him. And I approached him many times over the years. Rabbi Refson, would you sit with us, the magazine? And he always said, no, he didn't. He's not that into publicity. He doesn't see a need for it. He's worried about Ein Hara. He doesn't want to do it. One summer day, he calls me up. He says, I'm ready to do it. People advised him that for whatever reason, it's a good idea. He's happy to work with the Mishpacha. Let's do it. So we sat there. We did the interview. Again, it wasn't something he was thrilled to do, but it was something he believed that he had to do. We did the interview. We had a conversation. It was a fascinating conversation. I did my best to convey that conversation in print. It was supposed to come out one week. It was rolled over to the next week, as often happens in the magazine industry. There's breaking news. Things happen in the firm world that take precedence, so the story gets rolled over. And it ended up coming out. It was punked happened to be a week in Chodesh Cheshvan. It happened to be the week of the Agudah Convention, maybe 6 years ago. And that was the cover story that week. Rabbi Refson. Fine. Very nice. Life goes on. Sunday morning, I'm driving back to Montreal, and I get a phone call. Rabbi Refson's on the phone. He says, are you sitting? I said, I happen to be sitting. I'm driving, yeah. He says, you're not going to believe what I'm going to tell you. This Shabbos, I was in Manhattan, on the east side, as a scholar in residence, on the Upper East Side, in one of the shuls over there. Friday night, after Kabbalah Shabbos, Maariv, the Gabbai, or the president, gets up and makes announcements. Shabbos, everybody. Shachris tomorrow morning. Mazel Tov, the usual shul announcements. And we want to welcome our scholar in residence, Rabbi David Refson. There's a Chassidish gentleman in the back of the shul in a striamon, and he's looking at him. Oddly, Rabbi Refson feels him looking at him, and they make eye contact, and the gentleman approaches rather timidly. He says, Rabbi Refson, are you the one from Neve Seminary? He approaches, is that better? Amazing. He approaches, he says, are you Rabbi David Refson from Neve Yerushalayim Seminary, from your famous one who's done so much? He says, yeah. He says, can I ask you a favor? He says, we're here on the east side for Shabbos because my wife is Le'alenu. Very, very unwell. She's in one of the hospitals nearby the shul. So we're here for Shabbos. I'm taking care of my wife. Would it be possible, my wife knows you from some time in the past, would it be possible for you to visit her? So Rabbi Refson says, it's something I would love to do. Tonight I'm not able to do it because we're having a public Shabbos Huda, and then he was doing a question and answer session, and then he had appointments lined up. I could try tomorrow afternoon. The next day, after Musaf is over, the same Hasidic gentleman approaches Rabbi David Refson and says, can you please come visit my wife this afternoon? He says, it's something I would love to do. He didn't really know who his wife was. He didn't know who the Hasidish gentleman, and he didn't understand exactly where he would have known a Hasidish revival from. But he said, again, they made me appointments all afternoon. He was there to do kiruv. He was there to meet people. You know, maybe I could try after Mincha. After Mincha, the same Hasidish gentleman says, please, my wife is not doing well. Please, can you come visit her? Hospital's not that far away. So he says, I'm going to come tomorrow morning. Tonight, I'm running straight to Lakewood. I have a speaking engagement, mamish, an hour after the Zman. I promised them I'm going to be on time. I got to run out. I'm going to come tomorrow. He says, maybe you shouldn't wait. He says, okay, I hear. Motzei Shabbos says, Adol, Rabbi Refson's thinking, there's a guy who wants me to visit his wife, a yid who's in need. I'm going to say no because I have a speaking engagement. I'll be a little late. Nishkefelech, I'm going. Fine. Goes to the hospital, goes up to the floor, and he comes into the room. And there's a woman, a patient, Nebuch, lying there in bed. Chassidish lady, dressed like a Chassidish woman, surrounded by a beautiful family, Edoms and sons. Shtraimelech, the woman dressed with the tznius and the edelkeit of a Chassidish family. And he says, I go to Vach, my name is David Refson, do we know each other? So she says, I don't know if you recognize me, and I don't know if you remember my name, but this is my name. And she says her maiden name. He says, it doesn't ring a bell. She says, about 40 years ago, 35 years ago, she was a girl in the Hasidish system in Williamsburg. And she started to ask her teachers questions. And they didn't have the answers for all of them, and maybe they got a little frustrated with some of the questions, and she was labeled as somebody who was maybe troublesome. And things spiraled out of control quickly, which sometimes happens. And her parents didn't know what to do with her, and the school system didn't know what to do with her, and they said, maybe switch her, maybe take her out, and nobody really knew what to do. So somebody, a well-meaning friend of her parents, came over and said, we have an idea. There's a Yid, Rav David Refson, and he just opened a Kiruv seminary in Yerushalayim. But there, the teachers have answers. They know a lot. They're equipped to deal with all kinds of questions. Nothing shocks them. Your daughter clearly has an inquisitive mind. Why don't you send her there for a little bit? Now, if that would be a stigma today. Imagine what that was like 40 years ago in Williamsburg. But the parents had the siyata d'shmaya and the good sense to follow that advice, and they sent her to Eretz Yisrael. She told Rabbi Refson, I was there between 6 months and a year. I came, I asked, I got answers, I made friends, everything fell into place. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful half year. I went back to America at the end of that. It was about 3/4 of a year. I went back into the system and everything was wonderful. My mind was whole. My heart was whole. Everything was perfect. Nobody knew. Nobody knew where I was. Eventually, she went into Shidduchim. She became a Kalat, a wonderful Hasidah Shabbacha, with all the same dreams as her parents always had for her. Everything was great. Came time for the Chasana. They're doing an invitation list. They have a dilemma. The girl says, I want to invite Rabbi Rafson to my Chasana. He saves my life. And the parent says, that's great. But what if he comes? You're going to be at the Chasana, Hasidah Shetzibah, and there's Rabbi David Rafson. And people ask, just how people are, why is Rabbi Rafson here? He's not the boy side, not the girl side. He's not the caterer. Why is he here? And inevitably, somebody's going to say, oh, they'll put 2 and 2 together. Maybe. We can't do it. She says, what do you mean? Hakar Sataif. He saved my life. And they said, we can't have him at the Chasana. It's a problem. He travels a lot. He's in America. He might just show up. They went to ask the rabbi. Now, I don't know who the rabbi is, but based on my understanding, it was with the Satmar of the Devayel Zatzal. They went to ask the rabbi, what do we do? Do we invite him? The rabbi heard the shayla and he told her, you have a chiyuv of Hakar Sataif, which is very real and very valid and actual. You owe him everything. But Rabbi Refson would want your parents' advice to be heeded. He wouldn't want to be at the Chasana if it would cause you problems. So your Chiyuv HaKara Sataif doesn't mean that you have to invite somebody if it's not good for you. He only wants good for you. So he would understand that you should not, I think you shouldn't invite him, but you should keep the HaKara Sataif in your heart. The years passed, she got married, she built a beautiful family. Over the years, she would often think, when it was quiet, I owe HaKara Sataif to Rabbi Refson. She said, to Rabbi Refson, I'll be honest with you, my family, we're Hasidish people from Williamsburg, we don't buy Mishpacha magazine. It's not a magazine that we're comfortable in our house, but she's in the hospital for Shabbos and people are coming and going, so we bought it now. I picked it up this Wednesday and I saw the face of Rabbi David Refson on the cover. I said to my husband, this is Rabbi Refson. I think about him all the time. I wish I could say thank you. My husband went to shul Friday night. Rabbi David Refson is here for Shabbos. I asked my husband to bring you here. Rabbi Refson's quiet. He says, that's unbelievable. I would love to hear who your teachers were, who your friends were, what your experiences were like. This is so meaningful for me. I can't tell you how much the story means to me. I'm coming back tomorrow morning. I need to hear everything. He went to Lakewood to his speaking engagement. He was a little bit late. He came. He took questions and answers after he came back late to Manhattan. Sunday morning, he got up bright and early. Davened, went straight back to the hospital, up 7 flights. He wants to hear everything. He has his notebook with him. He needs to hear everything about her experience in Neve Yerushalayim. Of a different time, of this woman whose life he saved, and he comes into the room ready with his questions, and the bed is empty. And he says to the nurse, where's the woman who was here last night? She said, I'm so sorry, she passed away overnight. That's the story he told me. It hit me like a ton of bricks, because it's a story about Hakara Sataif, of course. It's a story about the connection, about the kesher between a Rebbe and a Talmud, a teacher and a student, and that intangible, invisible cord that goes between two Yiddish and Neshamas when one person influences another. But if we're talking about the writer's perspective, to me, it was a humbling reminder that we know nothing. We sit at our desks and we write, just like everybody else in the world. Some people sell insurance and some people pump gas. It's just a job. But if you're fortunate, you sometimes see how you're doing the Rebbeinu Shalom's work by sending forth stories that one person, I have no doubt that article on Rabbi Refson that he agreed to, that got rolled over from week to week to week until that Shabbos, was for that woman. Of course, it's obvious to all of you. So when we talk about the writer's perspective, the first thing is the humility to know that you're not telling the story, the Rebbeinu Shalom's telling the story. And if you're lucky enough, you could be one of his tools.
Enjoyed this story? Come again. Bring a friend. StoriesToInspire.org